I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
It's Ireland's most talked about podcast. The only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, this episode of the podcast is a very special episode of the podcast because it is a one-on-one conversation with one of our listeners who contacted us over the last couple of days. And Jeremy, what this lady has to tell us, the story that she has to tell, has left you numb and left me numb and even left our Katie numb.
So there's a couple of things here, guys, just to be clear about this, because most of the podcasts we do are obviously interactive and we have callers coming on and debaters and stuff like that. And from time to time, we do episodes of the podcast where there's literally no need to have a debate on this, because when you hear the contents of this podcast, there's nothing really to debate about. This story is so important. It was really so important, the message that this woman, Babs, who we're about to talk to in a few minutes, wants to get across, that we couldn't do it live on our Facebook page. We had to do it off Facebook because we're dealing with a case of alleged, and I say alleged, that will all make sense in a couple of minutes, alleged sexual abuse of a child. Mm. Now, even saying that, I know is triggering for a lot of people, and we do want to give a trigger warning before you even listen to this podcast. Not all of you will be able to listen to this podcast. Some of you may find it triggering, but I will say this to you. If you can get over that, if you can get your head around this and listen to it, it's such an important story that this woman, Babs, is about to tell. What she witnessed, nobody would ever want to witness.
And what she witnessed and how she dealt with it, we probably all would deal with it in the same way. This is really a shocking story. This all started from a voice note that we received from Babs the other day. I listened to it, Jeremy listened to it, Katie listened to it, and all of us were numb. Numb is an understatement, to hear what she had to say.
And in fact, the message was sent to us by Amanda, who works on her team as well, who didn't even tell us. She just sends the messages that you guys send in, and she says, here's a message that came in. So it didn't come with a warning or anything like that. It was just a message from a listener called Babs who wanted the topic brought up. And I was alone at the time when I got the message, and I happened to play it, and I was numb. I just couldn't get my head around it. I rang you, Adrian, straight away to say, well, how are we going to deal with this? We need to talk to this woman. We need to hear her story. And she is going to describe in detail exactly. So basically, just to give you the bones of it, and she will tell the full story in a minute. She's on hold here, just waiting to come on. She witnessed a young girl, making an accusation about a family member of hers. So the girl made an accusation about her father, to this woman, Babs, who doesn't know this family
from Adam. Yeah, literally doesn't know this family from Adam.
And this could literally, and this is why, again, the story is so important. This could happen to any of us. You know, your friends could have mates around in the house. My daughter has mates that come around and play in the house and play in the garden and stuff like that. This could happen to anybody, where a child turns around out of the blue and says something to you that you have to act upon. And that's exactly what happened with the Babs, wasn't it?
It is. And as we said, Babs' whole story is about what happened that day and what has happened subsequently, and how that day, this happened 2 years ago, but that day still hasn't left her and still crops up and is still frequently in her thoughts. And when you hear her story, you'll understand why she still to this day can't get it out of her head.
We got the message from her 3 days ago, I think it was. Yeah, it was 3 days ago when Amanda sent it to us, guys. And I'm not exaggerating. This is not an exaggeration when I say I cannot get what happened that day out of my head. I cannot get Babs' story out of my head. It's just, it's such an important listen. We understand if you cannot listen to it because it is triggering, but it's so, so important.
All right, we're going to be talking to Babs in just a moment.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Babs, can you explain to us what made you contact us in the first place?
Okay, so it was, I tell you why, because I actually seen the child yesterday also. So something happened a couple of years ago. I work in hospitality and a little girl was in with her mother. As I said earlier on, the mammy seemed to be on medication. Now, I'm just going to say medication. I don't know whether it was anxiety, methadone. She just did not seem her full self, if you understand me.
So was this kind of disheveled kind of look about her that she wasn't all with it? And so just before you go on with the story, just so people are clear about where this happened, you work in the hospitality industry. I know you obviously don't want to say where it is and stuff, but are we talking hotel, restaurant, bar, pub? What sort of setting
it's
was it?
A restaurant pub, like a gastro pub.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So take us back then 2 years ago and tell us what happened.
Obviously, when you're in this industry, you sort of read people very quickly when they come through the door. It's just a habit. I'm in this industry over 30 years, so you just sort of read. So obviously, I sat the mother and the daughter. The daughter was very hyper. Okay, so they ordered her food. That was fine. The child was running around. Where they sat was quite near me, where I was at a computer. So the mother had said to the child, if you don't stop running around and stuff like that, that lady's going to give out to you. So I went over and I spoke and I was like, oh, you have to be good now for your mom and eat your food and the usual. And that's how I am with children all the time. If the parents are happy, it can sit. They seem happy, you know, that sort of way.
And so what age was this girl, the little girl?
The I'd say about 7.
Oh, okay. Okay, so yeah, very, so, very young.
So quite young, yeah. So that was fine. She sat for a little while, then she was hyper again. She was running around. So at one stage I went over to her and I says, now, come on, you have to stop running around, sit with your mom. Yeah. Then I was chatting to her for a little bit and she sort of started following me because I was interacting with her.
And so where was the mother when the mother obviously wasn't around when you were talking to her, was she?
No, the mother was sitting at the table on her phone. Then there's little steps where the little one was sort of up and down these few little steps and I was near another till station. And she was just, and she was like, are you a mammy? I says, I am a mammy, yeah. And she says, oh, okay. Do you have boys? No, do you have children? I says, I do. I have two boys. Are they good boys? I went, well, sometimes if they're naughty, I says, they get into trouble and there's consequences, stuff like that. And she says, my mammy's not nice. My daddy's not nice. I went, oh, but if you're good, mammy and daddy will be nice to you. No, my daddy.
Did she say that? Because obviously I have a daughter the exact same age as this child. Did she say that in kind of a fun kind of way? You know, the way sometimes kids would go, oh, my mammy's not nice. Or did her demeanor change where she became more serious then? Did you know that something was coming down the line?
I didn't know anything was coming down the line because she was just chatty. She was a very chatty little kid.
Okay, when she said to you that my mammy and daddy aren't nice, what was your reaction to that firstly before we find out what else she said to you?
I just went, oh, I said, but mammy and daddy would be nice to you when you're really good, because obviously the mammy was giving out to her for running around. I just thought that's what she was getting at, you know, that sort of way. So I just says, oh, when you're good, mammy and daddy be nice and stuff like that. And she went, no, no. I was like, oh, okay, okay. And she says, no, my daddy sticks his fingers and I just, oh,
what?
Okay. Yeah. When I say it was like a kick in the stomach, I just was like, oh, okay. I could feel myself shaking. I was like, okay, okay. And one of my staff had come over and they're like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I need 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. They're like, what? I said, just give me 5 minutes. I just need to go back for 5 minutes.
So can I just say to you, Babs, and sorry for cutting across, because you contacted us about 2 days ago, I think 3 days ago, with this story, and obviously it came to us initially in a voice note, a very detailed voice note, and I didn't know what the voice note was going to be. It was just sent to us by one of the team on Opinions Matter, and about a topic that you wanted to raise, and I listened to the message. I didn't know where the message was going at the time, and when that bit came up, and by the way, we beeped this out of the podcast bit. We've just left it to say that the father said he sticked something, and that's because it would be massively triggering for a lot of people. Now, it's important that the child actually said that. That bit is important, but we've kind of beeped half of it out. I have to say, and I don't know about you, Adrian, since I've listened to your message, I cannot get that. In fact, I get very upset thinking about it because my daughter is the exact same age. Even you recalling the story here, I'm actually shivering and shaking.
And I have to tell you as well that our Katie, who works on the show as well, I played your message to Katie this morning, and she's a mother of two with a daughter nearly the same age as well. And she felt physically ill when she heard what this child said to you.
And I think it's irregardless of whether or not you have children, anybody hearing that story, and we're hearing it secondhand, you obviously heard it, and you can even hear the tremble in my voice talking about this again. When you heard that firsthand, that must have been a complete shocker for you.
It was horrific. That's why I just had to take. Even when I'm saying to you now, I'm at to move in chairs because I'm literally shaking just because it brought me straight back. It was horrible. But I went outside. I vape, so I went outside and I was just vaping, and I was like, oh shit, excuse my language. So eventually I went back in. They were still there. That was fine. I felt ill. I couldn't make eye contact with the child. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but I avoided the table. I avoided the child. I avoided the mother. And then they went to pay the bill. That was fine.
I'm sorry, just before you go to paying the bill, was there a follow-up from that? So she obviously dropped that bombshell where she said her father does that certain thing to her, which is horrific. It's the worst thing you can possibly hear a child say. Straight after she said that, just so we can put ourselves in that situation, was there anything? Obviously, you were stuck for words. You were dumbfounded. You didn't know how to react. What was her demeanor upon telling you that, and straight after, like, was anything said after it?
No, it was. There was nothing. Like, it was just a normal thing.
Did you say anything?
No, I just went. I literally went, oh, okay, because I did not know what to say. I literally was like, oh, okay, and I had to I just had to walk away. I did not know what to do. But there was no reaction from the child. It was like she just turned around and said, oh, I dropped my lollipop on the floor. You know, that sort of way. There was no.
So you think she said it as a kind of a matter of fact, like she wasn't saying it to. She just obviously, and, you know, from hearing about child abuse stories in the past, you know, a lot of times children don't see it as anything wrong. They see it as the normal because that's just what they've been conditioned. So she wasn't shocked telling you. Why do you think she did tell you?
I probably because I was interacting with her. I was giving her attention. I think that's possibly why, or she was possibly just wanted to have a conversation, you know, just wanted to chat while her mammy was on her phone. I don't know why she felt that she could say it to me. Now, I'm a very open person in work.
Do you think she knew the significance of what she told you? Or was she telling you as a matter of fact?
Or it's a cry for help?
I actually don't think it was a cry for help because it just, as you say, it just seemed like the norm to her. You know, there was no emotion in her, if you understand me. You know, if someone tells you something that's impacted them quite a lot, you'd see some sort of emotion in them, but there was no, she wasn't upset or she wasn't happy about it or she wasn't, there was no, it was just literally, oh, I dropped my lollipop on the floor. That's the only way I can describe it. I know that sounds crazy, but there was no emotion in it. It was just like, oh yeah, well, that's my dad. He's not nice. He does that. And I was like, okay.
That's shocking beyond belief. And again, the reason we beeped out the specific of what she actually said is because it's just It's grotesque. It really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, people can use their imaginations as to what you actually said. But let me then, in just a moment, I want to take you through the rest of the story and the reason that you contacted us and what was actually done in the aftermath of hearing that conversation. So, Bab, stay with us for 1 second if you can, please.
Okay.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a podcast from Ireland with a difference.
So, Babs, let's continue the conversation about what happened. So you get talking to this young girl. This girl tells you something absolutely horrific that her daddy does to her. We've already described that. We've beeped it out. People can use their imaginations as to what exactly daddy did. What did you do then?
So obviously I just continued with what I was doing. I went outside, came back in. The mother went to pay her bill. She paid her bill. That was fine. They left. But she had left her bank card behind. So something in me said, okay, just take the name down, which I did. And when she came to collect her card, probably about an hour later, she drove up in a car, and then something else in me said, take her car registration. So I did. Now, at the time, there's a few levels of management in the hospitality business that I'm in. So I made a call to one of my managers at the time, and I explained it to her. Now, she literally came straight across in her car, came over to me, asked her, was I okay? Obviously, I got quite emotional telling her what happened. And she said, leave it with me. I'll be in touch. I said, yeah, no problem. Thank you so much. That was fine. So that night when I got home from work, I got a phone call from the local Garda station of the place I work.
Did you tell anybody about what you had witnessed? Obviously, that didn't leave you in fact, it still hasn't left you now.
No.
But I would imagine your whole afternoon and evening were just, you just couldn't get that out of your head, and especially the sight of her saying that to you. Did you tell anybody else, or did you talk to someone about it?
I told just one other member of staff because I was asked not to say anything.
Okay.
Which sort of, I was like, but would not make sense. And we won't let it escalate. Just say nothing. Just leave it with me. So I said, okay, that's fine. So literally, I just told one member of staff because that was the one person that came over to me and says, are you okay? Are you okay?
Okay. So you confided in that member of staff about what had just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so I had told them, and they actually got quite upset over it. And they were like, I said, look, I'm fine, just leave it. We'll just get on today. It's fine. So that's the type of person I am. Yeah, okay, just leave it. Let's go. We're busy. So as I said, then the guards had rang me, asked me, would I be willing to make a statement? I said, yes, straight away. No problem. No hesitation. I didn't think of what would happen if I made a statement or anything like that. That was fine. That was 11 o'clock in the evening. By 11:30, a Garda car pulled up at my house. Literally in the space of 30 minutes, a Garda car pulled up to take a statement. So two guards came into my home, took a statement, were just chatting, asked me in detail everything that happened. And they did say, if this does go to court, would you be willing to stand up in the courtroom? I says, absolutely. I says, that's a little girl. That's a child. Of course I am. I says, no. And I did say, I do have fear of where the area is. I work if they find out it was me, blah, blah, blah. And he says, no, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything like that. I was like, okay. But I just felt like they said it was flagged. So I believe for the guards to turn up so quickly, there was an underlying issue with that name. And obviously with the car reg, they got the address for them to turn up so quick.
Well, it could have been also the fact that the Gardaí hearing about such words from a child's mouth, they have to take that very seriously and deal with it very quickly.
Yeah. I just thought it was very quick. Do you know?
Okay, so the guards arrived, they interviewed you. Did you give a full statement describing exactly
full
what
statement.
Happened?
Yeah, full statement. And the only thing they said, that why were you... What made you think to take the car reg? I was like, I don't know.
In fairness, that was brilliant. It was brilliant because you had so much going on in your mind at the time. I don't think a lot of people would have been that intuitive to actually go out and take the car reg. I think 90% of people listening to your story wouldn't have thought of that. And it was a moment of brilliance on your part to take the car reg. Was the statement very detailed? Like how long did it take to get the statement?
They probably left my house at 10 past, quarter past 12. So they were here for about a half an hour, 45 minutes, taking a statement. Literally from they wanted a statement from the time they walked through the door, the mother's interaction with the child, everything. And then exactly what the child had said to me. So I just
Was the CCTV in the, obviously there was, most businesses do have. Did they ask for that? Did they request that?
They never requested that with myself. And they can't request it with me. That would have to go through our head office department anyway.
Oh, okay.
So I've never heard anything back from it from that day. But I have seen the child with her mother on a few occasions come back in. And every time I see the child, I have to, and I know it's terrible, I have to go off the floor.
Because you just can't cope with seeing her?
No, I just can't. Like, I don't know, obviously, if she is still with the mother and she's still in the care of the mother, I don't know what came of the situation, but I still find it very difficult.
So they didn't keep you. This is the bit that I find bizarre, isn't it, Adrian? This bit that you gave this very detailed statement about the most serious allegation that you can actually make. And it was out of the mouth of a child. It came from a child. You did everything that you were supposed to do. You gave the statement, to the Gardaí. And are you saying not one person contacted you back since you gave that statement?
No.
Did they say they'd be in contact? I just find that so bizarre. By the way, I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying on the Gardaí's part, did you not find that bizarre, Adrian, that
absolutely.
That literally they like, apart from anything, even if they weren't going to pursue the case, even if it turned out that, the allegation was false or whatever, there was a duty on them to get back onto you and say, well, that thing you witnessed, well, here's the outcome of it. It's just bizarre. It really is. Yeah. Did you try to contact them?
No. To be honest, no, I didn't. Like, to me, I've done what I've done. If they need any more from me, they'll contact me. Because I will not lie, it did. It affected me to the point that the company that I work for, a few days later, well, probably about 4 days later, I'd say, between 2 or 4 days later, actually approached me and asked me, did I want counselling?
Okay, that's good. They would have a duty of care, in fairness. And it's good that they did that. Did you take them up on the offer?
I didn't. I says, no, thanks. You're okay.
So let me ask you then. So obviously this is still with you. And the reason that you contacted us 2 years later is because you saw that child again and all of the memory of exactly what happened, of hearing those words from that child, of contacting, of talking to the Gardaí. And I'm sure all the while you've never been able to get that child out of your mind. But one of the reasons that you contacted us was to have a conversation about what should be done to help staff like you if they ever found themselves in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Because
you feel something could be put in place.
Yeah, so you feel wholly unqualified to have dealt with that girl that day.
Oh, absolutely, even as a mother.
And in fairness, Babs, I worked in the hospitality industry myself for many, many years in a previous life. And that was obviously, I assume it's because it's such a rare thing that would happen. I was never trained in how to deal with anything like that. I don't even know. I'm sure there are people listening to this podcast now who work in childcare. I'm sure they do have, I would imagine they do, there's some sort of safeguarding in place and some sort of list of procedures that they have in place. But I would imagine it's very, very rare that this would happen where someone will be in a unfortunate position that you've, and unfortunate, I mean fortunate and unfortunate, that you were faced with that situation. I don't even know how you could train a hospitality staff for that. I mean, we were just looking up Yeah, Babs, under Irish law, and it's the Children's Act of 2015, it mandates that certain professionals and organisations have to report any suspicion or knowledge of child harm, whether it's assault and neglect, ill treatment or sexual abuse. All members of the public, now this is interesting, the wording on this, lads, all members of the public are also encouraged to report concerns. I always thought it was mandatory to report a concern, but it says here that we're encouraged to report. Now, I don't know why anybody wouldn't. I mean, when it came to your situation, there was never a question that you weren't going to do something about this. Sure, there wasn't.
Oh, no, I was going to do something. I just needed to get my head around it, to do something and to see what steps were going to be taken.
So in terms of training, do you believe that people like you in the hospitality sector, who obviously regularly are in contact with children who are in with their parents or one of their parents, do you believe that you should be given some form of training to help you deal with something like you had to deal with?
I think there should be. There should be a policy in place. Obviously, everything is, oh, you go and you speak to your manager. Not every manager knows how to deal with that. Like, I was a manager. So it was sort of like, oh, okay.
And I don't think any manager would know how to deal with that.
Like, you deal with, there's so many things you deal with in the hospitality industry that people don't actually realise. Like, even yesterday, a lady came in, looked, to me, I had said to staff, oh, I look after, she looked a bit lost. And I had said to them, I look after it, it's fine. I said, she's probably just coming from the hospital or something. But it turned out, and I always talk to people because you can read them, as I said, it turned out that lady was just came out from a women's shelter and she just wanted to have a cup of coffee.
My God, yeah, how would you know? How would you possibly know?
You know, fact, so I just,
you talking
just
about
things
this
like
as
that,
well,
you
yeah.
read.
Yeah.
You just
the
read
same,
people and it's, I don't know, I just think something should be put in place, not even necessarily training, but a protocol of what to do, how to deal with it. There should be,
but
I
Babs,
believe
this could happen. This could happen anywhere. This could happen, you know, say my daughter has kids over playing with her all the time in the garden and stuff like that. This could actually happen to me today. You know, if one of my daughter's friends was in the garden, could just come out and say this. So this could happen at any time and any place. And we just, no, it goes without saying, I think the vast majority of people listening to this podcast now would do the same thing that you did. They would be onto the Gardaí straight away. And I think it's important that we stress this, Adrian, isn't it? That if you ever come across something like that, that without hesitation and without question, after you get your head together and after you know, and I'm sure this went through your head, did she actually say this? Am I hearing things? Did she actually say this? Did I hear what I thought I just heard? You have to pick up the phone and call the Gardaí straight away, no matter how small it is. If a child says anything that sounds out of place, you just have to, don't you?
Yeah, I believe so, 100%.
Opinions matter. Opinions matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Let me ask you, Babs, do you feel a bit let down that you went to the trouble of maybe it wasn't trouble, it was something that you wanted to do, but you contacted the Gardaí, you made a full statement, you told them what you had heard, but that literally was the last you ever heard of that. Do you feel a little bit let down not knowing if anything was done, if anybody was questioned, or if there was any truth or otherwise to what the child said?
Absolutely, yeah. It would have, I know my putting my mind at rest is not a priority, but it would have helped a bit if I had got a call to say it, the accusation or allegation from the little girl wasn't real, it was just playful, whatever. But anything like that would be like, oh, okay. As you say, 2 years later, I'm still going, I wonder. And it's terrible that when that little girl comes in, I'm looking and I'm like, oh my God, I just got to go off the floor for a few minutes.
No, I think you need closure on the whole thing. And, you know, I would have thought that it would be their duty to tell you what happened. Because, I mean, this is not like, I don't know if you heard our podcast we did a couple of days ago of a father being questioned. He was away on holidays in a hotel in Spain. And you heard that podcast and people were saying, oh, the hotel was right and the hotel was wrong. This is much, more different, because this was literally someone giving you verbal evidence of alleged child neglect, child sexual abuse happening. You literally witnessed a child admitting that. It's just, I think people, when they hear this, the first thing they're going to say to you is, you should get onto the Guardian, find out, get an update. And I think from talking to you, would you agree, Adrian, that I think you're obviously never going to get this out of your head witnessing that. And you don't ever get that out of your head. A friend of mine who was a guard and deals with stories like this says there's nights he can't sleep because he has to hear the most horrific interviews with children who have gone through horrible, horrible things. And like 2 years later, it's still raw with you. It's still raw with us. Myself and Adrian are so traumatized and affected by...
I can't get a 7-year-old child blurting out those words out of my head, but I also can't get the image of the fact that this child could be, still to this day, for all we know, being abused and nothing being done about it. The reality is, unfortunately, though, Babs, I don't think that the Gardaí will give you any information. And even if there was any charges or prosecution that was brought, that case would have been held in camera, so would never have been reported on. So in reality, because it involves a child, unfortunately, I don't think the guards are going to be able to tell you anything. They won't be able to tell you whether there was a court case. They won't be able to tell you whether there's a prosecution, because the whole thing revolves around a minor.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That is fair, I suppose. But just it would have been to get, as you said, to get some closure, and just to have the knowledge out there that people, if something like that does happen, just to make a call, just to do something. It could be so innocent from a child, but yeah, it could be so serious.
Absolutely. And,
you know,
unfortunately, you still don't know whether these were just words out of a child's mouth or her actually reporting something sinister that was happening to her. Well, look, Babs, all we can say to you, and I know our listeners listening will be praising you for what you did, for actually making a statement, for reporting on what a young child said to you. My heart tells me that, you know, maybe it was just silly words out of a child's mouth. My head is telling me, in reality, this could have been something extremely sinister, and God forbid, something that is still going on, because the Gardaí weren't able to prosecute any case against the child's father.
But obviously, what's strange about it as well is that the mother is coming back to a place where she would now know. One would assume that she now knows that report's a myth. She would have to have known that.
That's the thing as well. Would she have known that that report came from me?
Not necessarily. Because I would have thought if she did know that, she probably wouldn't go to where you work ever again.
Exactly, yeah. So I don't think she even knew that the report came from me, because I didn't, as I said, didn't react. I was just like, oh. Now I could have walked over to the table and said something, but I was like, no, you don't do that.
But I would question whether or not she's even aware if the report came from that particular business.
That's what I mean. I don't think.
Yeah. There's no way you would go back. Even if it wasn't true, the embarrassment of going back to a pub or a hotel or a restaurant where your child had told a member of staff something like that. There's no way would you return to the scene of the crime?
Absolutely not.
Well, again, Babs, as I said, I know that listeners listening will be thrilled that you did what you did in terms of reporting it. Hopefully, you were reporting nothing. Hopefully, the child involved here is not being abused or was not being abused. But also, hopefully, if she was being abused, the correct action has been taken by the Gardaí, and that a prosecution has perhaps taken place that we will never hear about anyway, because it would be an in-camera court case involving a minor. Babs, thank you very much indeed for sharing your story. It really is food for thought about how somebody like you, people generally in life, have no skills to deal with something like this. And maybe we do need training for people in the hospitality sector like yourself or anybody who has any contact with with children. Mm.
And as well, what you have done, Babs, is you've brought to the front here a very important point, and it is that if there's ever a doubt, if ever there is a doubt that child abuse, whether it's physical, sexual or anything, is taking place, always report, because better to be safe than sorry. And 100% you did the right thing. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Babs, we really appreciate your time in talking to us on the Opinions Matter podcast and for sharing that harrowing story with us. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks, guys.
All right, and that just about brings this episode of Opinions Matter to a close. If you enjoyed it, please share it onto your own social media channels. A very important story to tell and to share, and food for thought for all of us. Thanks again for listening. I'm Adrian, he's Jeremy. We'll catch you on the next one.